I'm Jared Waitley. Here's a snapshot of Tuesday, September 21. Justin Lepich on the prospect of Michael Voss returning to coaching at Carlton.
Now he's fully prepared. He knows every part of the business. He knows what's coming at him. So, he'll be acutely aware. I don't think even all the past issues this year of Carlton are going to phase him all too much. I think he'll be able to work with those and slowly, bit by bit, get everyone back on page, which is what he's good at. He's a good standard setter as well. So he'll make the players better just in those things.
Does he have a presence about him?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, just having the name Michael Voss is a starting point. But, absolutely, he's got presence as well. And we heard Lee Matthews say sometimes that presence can be a negative in the modern-day coaching because it promotes almost a feeling of superiority, which kids don't sort of handle well nowadays. Whereas, you know, if you can still be strong but also realise as well that, you know, I still have to work together and give players what they want and show empathy and care. I think if you've got that fine balance, you can still be that strong leader.
And so he will represent a group that Brett Ratten, hopefully, it's not his yet, but hopefully Michael Voss is the coaches who get the second look at it, which we have been militantly exclusionary in footy, I think, in shutting down those who have had a look at it and haven't succeeded instantly.
Yeah, it is. It is hard because, I think once you've already witnessed someone, fail is in a term, what is success in footy? We've had this conversation many times. So what is it entirely? Michael did still take the Lions to a final series. Ironically, in his first year, when he was probably the worst of his coaching,
yep.
It was in his first year, he was probably the worst coach he's ever been. He was the most successful. So sometimes even that, you know, is timely in what team you have at what point. Why not? I mean, he's got done a bigger apprenticeship than most, really, if you even call it apprenticeship, because he's already had the main gig. So it's just a matter of whether they two want to marry each other. They want to get together and have the long-term walk down the aisle, because
yes.
It's not as simple as, we're in this marriage for you to impress me. No, it's for us to work together. And that's just as long as the club and the coach feel that connection together, I think it all's good.
And Leper moved the key grand final magnets.
Now, let's go to a few of the matchups that we think might happen on the day. I think this one's a good chance, which is Josh Shackey to go to Jake Lever, which he did really well early. Lever still had a bit of an influence last week, but Josh also, I think, played some of his better footy and just marking the ball, and it was a good starting point for him. The one difference, and if you want to give Josh any advice, is go watch some of Jacob Townsend's vision from 2017 that he did the same job on him in the grand final. That was and Jacob was one who obviously would have come from a different bent. He wouldn't have been just, you know, playing from the back shoulder and all about technique. He literally physically, you know, got in to him as well, to Jake. So that would be a good starting point. It sort of defies his personality a little bit, doesn't it, to do that.
So what does that look like in a game?
What it is often playing behind, being physical, keeping hand contact, so that's the important stuff. Keeping the player off balance as much as you can. It doesn't mean doing anything reckless or, you know, outside the rules, but it's just making sure he can't get a free run at the ball, which is what he likes. We just spoke about the two games he's played, 13 intercepts and 15 intercepts. That is a big problem for the Western Bulldogs and will be a problem this week if they continue that going.
Yep. So go study Townsend on Lever.
Yeah.
The history's a good guide.
Alex Keith will be back in the team, you'd imagine, for Ben Brown. It's a shame. I'm not sure. Maybe it's Cordy that exits. But, that'll be the other interesting matchup for me, because Ben Brown's going to have to. One thing he's done really well is just a few times he did this last week, is go up with one hand and bring the ball to ground. And I've loved that evolution of his game, and people might think that's a little strange, but we saw Ben Brown in the past, when he was at North Melbourne, if he didn't mark it, he'd get fed under the ball and get marked against. So that's the all duck, no dinner approach. So yep. I think one thing he's grown into his game is to make sure Keith can't mark the ball. So make sure at least the ones he can't win, he's got to know that, if I'm getting under the football here, I've got a decision. I can go for broke, or I can plant my feet and drop back and get one arm up and make sure Keith can't mark it, which will bring in now Cozzy Pickett and all those sorts of players to come into play. So that, I think that's been the maturity of Ben Brown, and I'm looking forward to see him continue that part of it, making good decisions on knowing when to mark the ball, but more importantly, when to get another opportunity, when to bring it to ground and go, well, if it's at the ground, well, we've got, you know, Cozzy Pickett, and if Cozzy doesn't get it, well, if they pick it up, well, Cozzy will probably tackle them. So it'll give us another opportunity. So there's no loss in bringing it to ground. I think it's something Charlie Dixon's done really well at Port, but It's a really common thread now in key forwards in the game.
Demon defender Christian Salem joined me from Perth.
Now we're out of quarantine, we can pretty much do whatever we want. You know, restaurants, cafes are all open over here. So a few boys have been going out for breakfast, jumping on the beach for recovery. So it's, at the same time, it's been pretty cruisy in terms of we've been training and just focusing on recovery and just getting ourselves ready.
So there was a great debate back here, Christian, around, and it is because of the lull. Is what percentage of intensity would you have gone at?
Yeah, look, to be honest, you know, we had a contest block where that was full on 100%. You know, we do that throughout the season, and you know, the match team was pretty much fully at it, except, you know, you just got to be smart. Like, you don't want to be slinging people, jumping into people's backs and whatnot. But other than that, you know, we want to practice our game style as best we can and give it as much like intensity as we can.
We found the grandson of legendary Melbourne figure Ivor Warne-Smith in Sudan.
I'm not 100% sure if I'm going down the Nile this week to a place called Damazine. It's a Blue Nile state. It's on the border of Ethiopia where we're dealing with refugees coming over from the conflict in Ethiopia in the Tigray region. If I do not travel down the Nile, I will be in Khartoum with the deputy ambassador from South Africa, who I've managed to suck into the Melbourne bandwagon. He's a bit of a sports nut, and we'll watch it at his house with about three different internet routers stacked up, ready to go, to make sure we have bandwidth to watch the game.
Let's pull at both of those threads, shall we? Because this is a fascinating tale. Mark, what line of work takes you to that part of the world?
So I work, Jared, I work with the UN World Food Programme. It's the largest humanitarian organisation in the UN. We have about 83 operations around the world. Currently, I'm in Sudan as the ops manager. We have about 9 million food insecure people here in Sudan. Although it must be said that this is a very friendly country, friendliest I've worked in. Amazing sense of hospitality, but there are some challenges. So my job is to negotiate access to humanitarian aid with whoever is in charge locally. Sometimes these people are on watch lists. Hopefully they're not. Just so that people who've had shocks have access to food or nutrition, that we can sustain livelihoods during or after a crisis. We also look into nutrition and development, school feeding, programs that encourage girls and boys to go to school, that sort of thing. I've been doing this since 2006. Lebanon 2006 was when I joined the UN.
Do you carry a Sharon with you?
I've actually given them all away.
Right.
I actually have a funny story about that. Chris Connolly, shortly before the, and I'm sorry to bring it up, the Energy Watch saga, was handing out a whole lot of labelled Energy Watch labelled footies, because obviously they didn't have much use for them in Melbourne anymore. So I brought them all over to Africa and gave them away, mainly in Kenya, where I've been trying to get people away from football and into AFL. I think we should be recruiting in Sudan as well. The some of the clubs I play at here, the athletic ability is phenomenal. But no, I don't have a Sharon at the moment, is the short answer.
There must be something to be done about
that. I do have a demon's top.
When does it come out?
Well, I have two. I have the match day jersey I wear when I'm watching and behave like a loon. And then I have a training top that I wear every time we win. I go for a run. It just about kills me. It's 36 degrees, stinking hot, but I take quite a lot of pride going for sort of like a post-match jog or run after. So, yeah, a couple of bits of kit. there's every chance I'll be wearing the top all next week, including with visiting European delegations.
Andrew Voss on Melbourne's view that Sydney is death riding the storm ahead of the preliminary final.
Oh, look, I don't know. Look, that's just it makes a great headline, of course. And, of course, you're going to put it in black and white bold print. Cam, I don't think that's 100% correct. It's an interesting one because if you were to just isolate and say that's a Sydney versus, you know, Victorian club that perhaps, you know, Sydney is throwing its support behind the Sydney club, I don't know whether Penrith are exactly the flavour of well, a month, if you like. You know what I mean? That they were last year. They were a better feel-good story last year. This year, there have been times where people have criticised them because they've said they're arrogant. And, you know, some of their celebrations and what have you, some of their players get up in the face and, you know, rub the head of the player after they've, the defender after they've scored a try. And that doesn't go down well with a lot of fans. So there's not as much love for Penrith this year. So I don't know whether people are automatically jumping on the Sydney club because they are playing Melbourne. I think the true rugby league fan, maybe I'm taking a little bit too much license here, Jared, but you do appreciate what Melbourne, how they play and the stars they have. And watching Brandon Smith play is fantastic. And Ryan Pappenhausen and Cameron Smith and Justin Ollam and Addo Carr, it goes on. I think there is an appreciation for the skill, but maybe it's just ingrained in us that we don't have to like Victorians, you Mexicans, you bastards.
And devoted D Kaz from Essendon made a grand final pledge.
I've been decorating my house and I'm making friends in the street I never knew, neighbours I never knew existed. I've getting people filming it. So that's keeping me busy, my bank balance moving around. Jared, I just want to thank you. From the time I rang you at the start of the year when people were, a lot of Melbourne supporters, we just had a practice match and you called me the voice of calm.
Yes.
I just want to thank you for letting me express what it's been like this season to be a Melbourne supporter. I've been very proud of my club. Just the professionalism, the calmness, the way they've gone about their job, all the players, the improvement in players like Spargo or Bullen, who I was always a little bit iffy about, and the way the club's embraced what they're doing, how the club's been, especially the players, the way they're not arrogant, they're confident, but they know the job. There's still a job to do on Saturday. And whatever happens, and I've been very confident through the whole season, it's been an amazing season and I'm proud of how they've gone about it. The way they've embraced Perth, and I think knowing, living there, and I've got friends over there, the way they're saying everyone seems to be supporting Melbourne. It's just been a fantastic season. And I've actually, you spoke to a friend of mine who I met at the footy, Robin, and you called me a friend of the show, which, you know, I got quite, yeah, that was very nice of you, thank you. And I actually had a delivery guy who dropped off two bottles of gin because I gave my tickets to friends in WA, my barcode, and we're chatting away and he's looking and he goes, Kaz, are you Kaz from Essendon on SEN? I said, yes, I am. He goes, oh, my God, that is amazing. He said, I love listening to you and your passion. So I just want to give a shout-out for Dom if he's listening. I'll just make a statement now. If we win, I'm getting a tattoo.
Yes.
And I've always said that.
And that's just a snapshot. The full program and all interviews are available through the Waitley podcast. Subscribe at sen.com.au.